Thank you very much, Professor Bob Snow, for that. I think you have questions, do you? We are taking questions for the four speakers of the morning. If you do have questions, we'll take them very quickly from you. Any question for any of the four speakers? Yes, we have one question at the back.
Which then has attraction with time for citations. People begin to cite this work. So there's one paper up there cited 34 times. We've got a couple of papers in the Malaria Journal that are cited well over 30, 40 times. And this is really good for, you know, a scientist's work being cited in other pieces of work is really good. And that's what pushes up the impact. The Lancet and New England Journal really go to town on the review process. And I have to say that of those journals, those high-end ones, you know, you'd have six or seven reviews, then a statistical reviewer, and if the paper does make it, they go hell for leather on publicity. So they actually make this paper hit the BBC World Service. You know, that is their ambition, is that their name is mentioned on the BBC World Service, using as a vehicle your paper. I get a sense that the BMC and sort of PLOS, they're less bothered about actually hearing their name mentioned on the BBC World Service. But it does give that paper a lot more visibility than it might otherwise have had. So I think that's, you know, there's probably scope for PLOS and BMC series actually to sort of self-publicise some of the really high rolling papers, and I think that pushed their impact. I don't know if that's answered your question, but frankly, if you wanted my honest opinion is I think that the impact factor rating of scientists needs to change. I think that that's just such a ridiculous metric. And as Mary's pointed out, her work has been far more valuable in terms of, you know, improving livelihoods of women using indigenous vegetables, which she hasn't published in many high impact factor journals. But rated as a scientist, she's probably had a bigger impact.
Can I just add one comment, which actually connects up also with what Mary mentioned about the role of not just the original scientific research, but also articles and newspapers and things like that. One of the really good things about open access is that when an article in an open access journal is covered in the press or on the BBC, I mean, actually, biomedical journals are very frequently covered on the BBC website, amongst others. The journalists now are getting much better putting links through to the original research. That didn't used to be a sensible thing to do because nobody had access. But because it's open access research, you can put a link and people can go from the magazine article, the newspaper article. If they want to, they can find out more by looking at the original research. And I think that's really important. You can connect up the different layers of information.
Or some commendations to, excuse my informality, Mary, for working so hard on being proactive as regards the repackaging of your research, because I was just in meetings with the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa a couple of weeks ago, and that's a big gap in the online availability of content coming out of Africa is exactly those other repackaged forms of the research outputs and but we can work further on that. But my question to both of you is, in line with the kind of catchphrase and concept, think global and work local, what are you both doing about the problem of this impact factor issue? I'm kind of challenging both of you to talk about what your active approaches are regarding that. And Bob, you said it needs to change and it's rubbish and it's not good for science, but you use it anyway, and you publish in those ISI impact factor rated journals anyway. What is the way forward? How can we accommodate this change in our university policies locally and globally?
The thing is that my salary comes through the Wellcome Trust as a principal fellow. Now, I wouldn't be a principal fellow funded by the Wellcome Trust if I didn't have a doctoral CV. So if they actually are the ones actually deciding on my future, I have to influence them first that there are other metrics other than what I publish that they should be judging my career on.
I think slowly but surely we are being successful with Wellcome Trust in that regard. I mean, they do now consider many other outputs of a scientist's career in their sort of, I suppose, comparator with others in your peer field. So if you're working in tropical public health or tropical medicine, you will be actually judged also on what you're being able to contribute to teaching in tropical medicine in Africa and the amount of influence you've had on national and international policy in your particular field. And that will be considered now by the Wellcome Trust. There isn't an easy metric for them to measure that, so they struggle a bit. But they recognise that there needs to be something else. I don't know what more we can do. I mean, we could all stand up and sort of march to our funders and say, this is not good enough, you can't keep doing this. But they, in their defence, they've got nothing else to judge you by. How do they judge me against somebody else in Antwerp? So they need something that they can actually rank people dispassionately.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure I didn't get the question clearly, but the way I understood is that what am I doing about high impact publication? What we are doing is that I would encourage, or personally, I try to send articles to the high impact journals. And if accepted, of course you have to pay for it, and you have just to try and pay for it, because as the saying goes, you have to fit in. For you to be assigned to be recognized internationally, you must publish. But my recommendation is, as much as researchers, we are publishing high impact journals, we should not just focus on high impact journals. We should also look at the other side of impact, as you said, and it's always good to try to have these repackaged materials done by professionals, because sometimes when these materials are repackaged by people who are professionals, they misinform the public. So the professionals have to work together with other stakeholders to have these materials in a form that is usable. At the same time, scholars should try and publish in high impact journals, whatever that means. But the main thing I said was that some of the high impact journals, you are just left out for reasons beyond your control. So sometimes they say if you are working on a crop, they think it's not internationally acceptable or recognized, they leave it. Or they think that the lab you're working is not credible. So maybe we just need to work on accrediting our labs and our works in Africa so that we can speak and do just quality research and compete for that high-profile journals.